Fire Blast, where are they coming from?
They heard us first, lover, so we've got the lion's share.
Christy could see the other party collecting the dead children and holding their ground. And as suddenly as it had started, they were through to the center themselves, with Harvey and Downey close behind. Ryan turned to the sec chief.
Where's Dean?
Harvey shrugged. Rankine was pinned down by three muties, his Lee Enfield 303 having been knocked from his grasp by a thrown rock. While Jake and Bodie were in front of him and plowed on regardless, Dean was close enough to spot the three muties descend. They were too close to Rankine for the youngster to risk a shot, so he holstered his Browning high power and flew at them. A high kick caught one at the point of his jawbone, just beneath the ear, shattering the bone and driving shards of it into his brain. The second mutie was grabbed by the hair, his head pulled back, and a straight-handed chop to the throat taking him out. Rankine was able to deal with the third mutie himself, grasping fingers reaching the barrel of the Lee Enfield. Pulling it into his grip and grasping tighter, he swung it so that the stock crashed across the mutie's nose, bloodying his face and throwing him backward.
Thanks, kid.
Thank me if we get out of here.
Dean turned his eyes toward the surrounding crowd of muties. Some of them had started to fight one another, confusion and bloodlust clouding any reason they possessed. Rankine and Dean joined the others in the center. Dean joined Mildred in positioning two children over their shoulders. Rankine and Jake took another two, while Ant and Dee took the final pair.
Form a circle. Fire out when need be, and we head for the main road. I know these fuckers. Once we get out of the light, they'll be too scared to follow.
Hope so.
The odds still bothered Ryan, though. As did the fact that Doc seemed to be choosing the wrong time to get distracted, staring at the painted totem. Doc turned to the one-eyed man.
When we get out, then I fear I shall have something of import to discuss.
Worry me later. This is gonna be a bitch.
The sound of a blaster discharging cut through the yells of the muties.
I thought you said they didn't have blasters, Harvey!
It was Sun Child himself who had the blaster. Where he had found it was something none of them could ever know. The fact that he had no idea how to use it was undeniable. The mutie leader appeared in the middle of the crowd, the scarlet of his blood blending with the colors on his robes, running together in a mess of red as it flowed from the wound in his shoulder. Whatever else, the mutie leader had immense reserves of strength and stamina. He waved the blaster in the air, yelling in a fury even more incoherent than the chanting he had previously led. It was hard to see in the glare of the firelight, but it looked like a long-barreled blaster, possibly a .44 Colt Peacemaker. The armorer strained his eyes to tell, wanting to know how many shots the mutie would have left, especially as he had just discharged the second round. None of the party had seen where the first shot was directed, but it was an even bet that it was as random as the second, which fired off at an oblique angle, stopped by the soft flesh of a mutie with only one arm, the other showing just a few fingers flapping at the shoulder. Now the mutie had no arms, its only true limb blown off at the elbow by the heavy lead slug, ripping sinew, flesh, and bone at such short range. The companions and Sekmen encircled the poles, facing out. What had been difficult before was now shaping up to be a deadly proposition.
You said they didn't have blasters. Our entire attack was based on that, but they do.
Harvey shook his head, momentarily thrown.
Never seen the bastards use them before. Didn't even know that they had them.
Seems certain they don't know how to use them, so maybe we'd better get going before they do.
Harvey nodded.
We keep tight, lay down a covering fire, staggering shots to preserve ammo. But first, I think we need to carve ourselves a little path.
The uncertainty that had plagued his voice a few moments before was now gone, as the Sekman's tactical mind clicked into gear, going through the permutations of what was possible in this situation. From the leather bag at his belt, he produced an old grin. He pulled the pin and lobbed the bomb overarm toward the road out of the vill. Ryan noticed that a few of the muties automatically followed the path of the grin as its dark shape arced in the light, their inbred idiocy responding to stimulus even in the middle of a battle. The Sekmen laid down a volley of fire, driving the muties back, while Harvey counted carefully, hissing the numbers between his teeth.
Now!
He hit the ground hard. The Sekmen around him did likewise. The companions took only a split second to realize what Harvey had been counting and followed. The grin exploded, either on impact with the ground or else in the air directly above. It was hard to tell as it landed somewhere to the rear of the pressing crowd of mutie sun children. Shrapnel from the Gren spread out in all directions, and the air was suddenly filled with shrill screams as those at the rear of the crowd were either hit by the white-hot metal or thrown forward by the concussion of the blast.